John Jackson, W266DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Diplomatic sources tell CBS News the U.S. and Qatar mediated an agreement that's allowing injured Palestinians and foreigners to cross from Gaza into Egypt for the first time since the Israel-Hamas war began. CBS's Robert Berger from Jerusalem.
Egypt has set up a field hospital which could help relieve the terrible conditions at Gaza hospitals, which are overcrowded, ill-equipped, and understaffed.
Crews in Martin County, Kentucky are trying to save two men trapped in an abandoned 10-story coal plant that collapsed around them. CBS's Jim Krasula.
Governor Andy Beshear declared a state of emergency in the county, mobilizing state resources to help with the delicate rescue operation.
Police say the two men had been salvaging scraps on the bottom floor. British researchers say artificial intelligence has diagnosed a rare form of cancer faster and better than existing tests.
We found that the AI was twice as accurate as an invasive procedure.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. University of Wisconsin officials say they want elected leaders to stop politicizing diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. University system leadership says DEI programming promotes more inclusive communities for all kinds of students. Governor Evers is suing Republican lawmakers after they stalled scheduled pay raises for state university workers. UW system president Jay Rothman says it's time to stop the rancor. Yesterday's snowfall set records in much of Wisconsin. A band of snow made its way from west to east across the state. Appleton saw 4.5 inches of snow. That breaks the old record of 2.7 inches in 2019. Milwaukee suburbs like West Allis report about 4 inches of snow. Wausau and Eau Claire also set snowfall records yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Yesterday's unexpected snowstorm had lasting effects on the area, creating ongoing impacts for today. The region experienced a significant snowfall of 2 to 4 inches, with West Allis recording the highest accumulation at 4 inches. Burlington got 3 inches of snow. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson's nominee for the city's LGBTQ+ liaison role has withdrawn from the position due to scrutiny from local LGBTQ+ organizations. The mayor's appointment of Luke Olson, made on October 18th, faced criticism from the community, leading to Olson's decision to step down. The mayor says there's a new search for a candidate who can address the diverse issues faced by the LGBTQ+ people in the city, particularly LGBTQ+ people of color. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Packers trade Rasul Douglas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. The Green Bay Packers traded defensive back Rasul Douglas to the Buffalo Bills. The deal finalized just 30 minutes before the NFL deadline. The Bills receiving Douglas and a fifth-round pick in next year's draft. The Packers, in return, get a third-round pick. At age 28 and in his prime, Douglas joins a team now with a shot at the Super Bowl. A surprise in Las Vegas. Last night, the owner of the Raiders, Mark Davis, fired both head coach Josh McDaniels and GM David Ziegler. McDaniels only in his second season. The Raiders at 3-5 just beat the Packers 2 weeks ago. NBA, the Bucks are on the road tonight to take on the Toronto Raptors. Game time, 6 o'clock. Milwaukee coming off a 122-114 win at home over the Heat. Head coach Adrian Griffin says the Bucks defense looked a little gassed in the fourth quarter.
It got a little stagnant at the end, but we learned from that. I got to do better. I don't know if I need to put another ball handler in there.
That's the Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs around 38 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies tonight, 27. Tomorrow, high of 45. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. If you're joining us for the first time, my guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, a longtime friend who clearly is one of the most astute political minds that I know personally. And it's always great to have Dr. Craig on. He's on every Wednesday at 9 o'clock. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Earl, and really just glad you're on statewide so people can hear your impertinent voice all over the state.
Well, thank you, sir. Let me ask you, last Wednesday, we were talking about you and Citizen Action going up to Madison and having dialogue and conversation with people about the financing of American Family Park. How did that turn out?
Well, that was kind of fascinating. I testified at the Senate hearing. I also had testified several weeks earlier at the Assembly hearing. And just to remind folks, this is going on at breakneck speed, that our lawmakers, bipartisan support, but bipartisan opposition, pushing through $500 million for, you know, a very wealthy owner of a baseball team with very little public input. And it really shows how the popular voice, the public's voice, is very minimal. I called it in our weekly newsletter for the organization I lead, Fifth National Wisconsin, sitting in the euchre seats. In other words, we're way
right.
The public is. And so it's reflected in the opinion polls. 70% of Wisconsinites were for her to spend the money on core services like education, like healthcare, like childcare. But it doesn't matter, or it doesn't seem to. So my experience at the hearing was very much being in the euchre seats. So I testified next to last, 3.5 hours. We heard endlessly from the representative of the Brewers, representative of Major League Baseball, representative of the Brewers Foundation, to hear the good works the Brewers Foundation does, which were, shall we say, touted to the heavens. And then from major corporate leaders that have a huge amount of influence, people like Tim Sheehy, the longtime head of the Milwaukee Chamber of Commerce, the Milwaukee Metropolitan Association of Commerce, and been appointed as chair of the stadium board. And so we heard from all of those folks. We heard from minor league teams that are part of Major League Baseball in Wisconsin, all that we had to do this, and we'd lose the Brewers otherwise. None of those are true, actually. We can get into that. So when I finally got to testify, I gave my piece, since I was the only person representing the public there, and we're a statewide membership organization, a civil democracy organization. I got into media coverage, but how late I testified really spoke to the situation. The other thing I want to say is this cut across odd lines. I talked about the bipartisan support. This is something Robin Voss and Governor Evers are both pushing for with all their might. It tells you how much power corporate Wisconsin has over both the tops of both parties. But there was strong opposition, not only from some Democrats, and they weren't the strongest. The strongest came, I don't know if you know him, Earl. Do you know State Senator Julian Bradley?
I don't know him personally. He's been there about, this is his first term. He's been there a short while, but he's looked at very held in high regard.
We disagree with him strongly on voucher schools, which he's right. A huge advocate of. That's what I knew him for. But, and he, represents a conservative district, mostly not Milwaukee County. So mostly Waukesha
right.
and surrounding very suburban counties. But he was fantastic on this issue. And he had by far the strongest reaction to my testimony, because he was pushing some of the same things, and he was giving the Brewers, putting the Brewers through the paces. He made it a real hearing. So I thought that was fascinating that the people shilling for it were conservative Republicans, but you had, and they aren't the votes in the Senate right now because of this. There are a number of four or five Senate Republicans that aren't supporting it, and the same with Democrats, so there aren't enough votes. Who aren't supporting it, and that's why Voss and Evers are both lobbying and pushing hard and arm-twisting for the same thing, which is fascinating. And by the way, the opposition is not to any deal, including our organization, Cincinnati, Wisconsin. It's to this deal. It's a very unbalanced deal. The Brewers pay much smaller percentage than the Bucks did for Fiserv Arena or many other balls teams have around the country, and there's no emergency other than they want it now. Major League Baseball does.
You know, Dr. Craig, those of us who've been around a little while, I was here when the Braves left Milwaukee, and so we survived until the Brewers came to town. It wasn't like the world was coming to an end because we didn't have the Brewers. If you really look at it, Dr. Craig, with the milkmen and other local, minor league teams, there's still baseball around. And so it's not like the world will come to an end if the Brewers aren't here. Some of us have experienced that, and especially to the degree, Dr. Craig, that everybody demands that the sky is falling and this has to be done now.
And they're not about to leave.
I know.
So I agree with you. I agree with you, but we don't even necessarily have to make that choice. And here's why. We have 7 years left on the lease, okay? They don't have any other place to go. They floated Nashville. So are the Chicago White Sox. So have other teams. It's part of a Major League Baseball playbook to shake down every city and state that has not made a massive investment recently before they expand and hold a lottery, basically, for the two expansion slots that they do. And so what they prefer to do is to get huge payouts from everyone out who's a current Major League Baseball city and state, and then go and extort Nashville, Charlotte, San Antonio, Portland. There are enough cities to have a bidding war. And so that is what the game is right now. And it's about them trying to get as much as they can. They don't need it. nor is Wisconsin as disadvantageous a market as they claim. The chief financial officer of Major League Baseball, who came to Wisconsin, didn't fly over Wisconsin as usual and came for each hearing, Assembly and Senate side, told us the great economic benefits. So did the Rick Schlesinger, the president of the Brewers. It is not true. There have been 130 independent studies, academic studies not funded by Major League Baseball owners or consulting firms that work for Major League Baseball owners primarily, and they find no economic benefit. So what that means is, Earl, to make this beneficial, you need to add other things to the deal, like guarantees on unions building, you know, doing the maintenance,
right,
putting in the new scoreboard, and labor standards, so they're paid a good wage. They're called project labor agreements. And since Brewer workers are very underpaid, what you need to do is you need to have standards for those ballpark workers so they make as much as those at Wrigley Field or the White Sox ballpark or the Twins ballpark. They don't. And in fact, in Wrigley Field, they're pushing for $20 an hour right now for the concessions workers. And there's nothing remotely like that in Milwaukee.
So
we're not doing those things, Earl. And we're also not even holding up to allowing us to develop around there and create more jobs as all that those seas of parking lots that are excessive.
You know, Dr. Craig, as a guy, you know, who from time to time goes to watch the Brewers, to even mention a scoreboard, they just put up a state-of-the-art scoreboard a year ago. So what they're asking is, as quickly as technology advances, they've got to have the latest new toy every year that technology advances for a scoreboard. You know, part of this.
I'm glad you brought that up, Earl. Let me tell you what's going on. The deal that Tommy Thompson negotiated in the 90s when Miller Park was built called for the scoreboard to be in the top 25%, which is an absurd thing because it's a moving target, and enough other cities with the same kind of pressure have updated their ballparks that now we are, this is what Tim Sheehy told us, out of lease compliance. But that's a ridiculous provision that we shouldn't be putting in the deal. It shows how one-sided it is.
No, I know they just put this scoreboard up. It's spectacular. It's only been up a little over a year and a half. I don't know, Dr. Craig, if it's even 2 years, but the sheer size of it and the beauty of it.
I was there in September. It's a great scoreboard. But they just want more because they can. And I could get into how the Brewers can afford this. The team appreciates in value by almost $200 million a year. In other words, without losing any money, and you can finance based on value, the thing's worth $1.6 billion, and it's appreciating so fast that the team, they could maintain the stadium, but they think they don't have to. It's kind of like pharmaceutical companies think they can make 80% profit instead of 60, and they're going to do it on a drug, and they're going to harm people.
So Anastasio, when he bought it, Dr. Craig, I think he paid a couple hundred million for it. So it's
$230 million.
Yeah, so look.
And the other thing is, the CFO of Major League Baseball came and told us what a weak market are. We're number 30 and up 30 and da-da-da. You know what? The team is valued in the middle of the pack at $1.6 billion because that's not true. They're treating us both with the economic argument that there's economic benefits and the idea that you're so weak, you have to pay through the nose. It's a lie, Earl, and it's because we're a statewide team that has top 10 attendance every year.
Dr. Craig, we got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. We're not anti-baseball. We'll be right back.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Dr. Craig, we were talking before the break about the fact that this happens to be something where Governor Evers and Robin Voss can break bread together. But at the same time, Governor Evers is suing the Wisconsin legislature and Robin Voss because they can't seem to, he can't seem to get 31,000, you know, employees of the university system in the state of Wisconsin a raise because Robin Voss and the Republicans want to force them to get rid of diversity, equity, and inclusion. How is it possible that they can come together on a deal as big as that for the stadium, Dr. Craig, and yet, you know, we can't, Republicans have clearly dangled this. If you don't get rid of diversity, equity, and inclusion, we're not going to make sure that those people get a raise, even though I know it's a national issue with Republicans.
I think that you adding that question, you know, allows us to see the political system we have now, our democracy in Wisconsin, even better, Earl. So if you start with the Brewers, the bipartisan unity, so bipartisan can be a bad word. Often we hear, oh, it's a bipartisan bill. Well, that meant by mean that it's a sell, that both are selling out, right?
Right.
Supporters of it. And so like with the Brewers, it's bipartisan support and a bipartisan opposition, but it's like the Wizard of Oz, the movie. The whole point is that the people we think are the villains aren't the villains. The real power is the man behind the curtain,
right?
And the man behind the curtain is disempowered once he's seen.
Realize
once,
who he
once,
is, right?
Dorothy pulls the curtain back. And that movie was based on a novel that was written in the populist era to support populist progressive reform, the whole farmers' revolt against the big trusts and corporate monopolies. And so that's the point. You had to see who was really. So this is a rare thing, the Brewers, to see the real power behind the throne and how everyone, that the top Voss and Evers, get along just fine when it comes to what corporate Wisconsin and greedy 800 millionaire Mark Tantanosio, the owner of the Brewers, wants. But you also see that both are in competition as well, and both want power, right? And so we've talked a lot about the Republican Party, particularly the modern Trumpian one. And the idea is, do anything to create divisions in order to make it more likely you can hold power. So they think, just like with their, what they say about critical race theory, where they've made up what it is, what they say right. It is not what it is. And it's not in elementary schools or high schools. It's not even in undergraduates, in law schools. And it's a serious upper level academic discipline, is not what they say it is. Well, the same with diversity, equity, inclusion programs. But why? Because they think they can make them a useful political wedge issue to get people not to think about how they're not funding education, how they're not dealing with the healthcare cost and access crisis, how they're getting away with cutting $300 million out of childcare when people desperately can't hold jobs and even seek jobs because they can't get affordable childcare, right? And so it you focus on something else. So there's this evil diversity, equity, inclusion programs in universities. And that's what's causing this. And you have the lawsuit. I don't know what the legal merits are, but I'm glad there's a fight going on, right? If there's any chance to overturn this legally, go for it. But I would say also, I saw the university system, which has played like a hostage since Walker won office and the Republicans did in 2010, where they have tried to placate them in every way, actually called on the Republicans to stop playing politics with their DEI programs, and that they helped all kids succeed and do well and work with each other across differences. And so that was amazing. It's because Robin Voss is holding up the pay raises, which, and we've been falling behind other universities. We're losing students, faculty, valuable faculty to places like University of Florida and University of Georgia, which have better funded university systems and are investing in it. And so, but they're making it worse just so they can play politics and just so they can vilify a boogeyman that doesn't exist, some sort of liberal conspiracy to steal the minds and souls of their kids in the UW system.
You know, Dr. Craig, it is more than frustrating when you see what the Republicans are doing. Again, as I stated before, this is a national issue that they are trying to force across the entire nation. And of course, Wisconsin is always happy to be the first to, you know, and maybe the trial balloon for all of these things. But it is telling that those 31,000 people are, that the legislature and Robin Voss could care less about them and their families. They've allowed raises in other areas. This is the one that they stumped their feet and said, we're not going to do it here.
Just because it helps them politically. And remember, I want to keep the strand of comparing this to the Brewers thing. This keeps public attention away from the $500 million giveaway they want to give to the Brewers. And so this actually benefits Major League Baseball, which, and I said this, I've written this and I said this in the hearings, that the chief financial officer of Major League Baseball, who's coming to our state twice, is treating us like flyover country, telling us things that aren't true because he thinks we Rubes will buy it and will give him what he wants.
All right, we've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Dr. Craig, my good friend, executive director of Citizen Action, is on the line. You can join us. We'll be right back. What they do is smiling in your face.
Smiling faces sometimes.
Yes, yes. Smiling in your face.
I don't mean no down dirty lies.
Yes, yes. Smiling in your face.
Da, 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 da. Might be your neighbor.
Your home for the devil's advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Open enrollment in the health insurance marketplace is underway. Democratic state lawmakers are reintroducing bills they say will make health care in Wisconsin better and more affordable. One bill would expand Badger Care eligibility for some people to 133% of the federal poverty level. Another bill would create a Badger Care public option to buy health coverage on the state exchange. A prisoner died at the Waupun State Prison Monday. That's the third death in Waupun in 4 months. The Dodge County Medical Examiner says autopsy results won't be ready for a couple of months. The Waupun prison has been in lockdown since March. The Journal Sentinel reports about 1,000 inmates have had to stay in their cells around the clock. Families say they're concerned about health care at the prison. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The eyedrop murder trial in Waukesha County has entered its seventh day. Prosecutors have accused Jessie Kurzewski of poisoning her friend with eyedrops and making it look like an overdose. They allege Kurzewski stole money from the victim as well. This week, testimonies have centered around the defendant's spending habits and the details about the victim's will and estate. Kurzewski has pleaded not guilty. She could potentially face life in prison if found guilty. Milwaukee police are saying the search for a 26-year-old man is urgent. They're seeking public assistance in locating James Davis, a 26-year-old who has been classified as critically missing. Davis was last seen near the intersection of 79th Street and Keith Avenue on Tuesday afternoon. There's an image online. The urgency behind locating Davis has not been disclosed by police. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or...
The Packers trade Rasul Douglas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers traded defensive back Rasul Douglas to the Buffalo Bills. The deal finalized just 30 minutes before the NFL deadline. The Bills receiving Douglas and a fifth-round pick in next year's draft. The Packers in return get a third-round pick. At age 28 and in his prime, Douglas joins a team now with a shot at the Super Bowl. A surprise in Las Vegas. Last night, the owner of the Raiders, Mark Davis, fired both head coach Josh McDaniels and GM David Ziegler. McDaniels only in his second season. The Raiders at 3-5 just beat the Packers 2 weeks ago. NBA, the Bucks are on the road tonight to take on the Toronto Raptors. Game time, 6 o'clock. Milwaukee coming off a 122-114 win at home over the Heat. Head coach Adrian Griffin says the Bucks defense looked a little gassed in the fourth quarter.
You got a little stagnant at the end, but we learned from that. I got to do better. I don't know if I need to put another ball handler in there.
That's the Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs around 38 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies, southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies tonight, 27. Tomorrow, high of 45. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Thank you.
show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. It's Chuck Mangione. As always, it's Wednesday. That means Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. Let's go to Marty from Milwaukee. Hey, good morning to you, my friend Marty. How you doing, man? Hey, Marty, we're having trouble hearing you. Go ahead now. You're
better. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, hello, everybody. I saw your guest, Dr. Craig, on TV up in Madison. I just wanted to say you did a fine job presenting the evidence, presenting the argument for the stadium, against the stadium, and so forth. And it's great to know that we have someone like that in our corner, just as people, as a populace. But Earl, let me ask you something, and Dr. Craig, when the state puts in money for the stadium, is not Milwaukee City proper part of that money? And when the county puts in money for the stadium, are not the people of Milwaukee City proper part of that money? And now if they want to tax Milwaukee individually, would I be incorrect in thinking that we're being taxed three times for the stadium? I don't know. Hello?
Yeah, hang on. Dr. Craig, you there?
You would not, actually. And it's fascinating. And in fact, Milwaukee, being the largest city and the largest county in the state, pays the most of any state resources. Anything you want to talk about, the state does with state revenue. And so that's absolutely true. Now, what they're doing, and they also, one of the undemocratic things that happens is making the bill so complicated that that it's hard to follow. They have been reducing the amount that's double and triple. It's triple taxed. The caller's totally right, because you get a city tax and a county tax if you live in the city of Milwaukee. But they've reduced it, and then they have changed a fee that the state charges for the collection of sales tax, which also pays the city and the county a lot back. So that's becoming less of an issue, but here's the thing. The Republicans get to say they're sticking it to Milwaukee because there's more of a price tag in the bill publicly than is actually paid. But your caller is right even more broadly. There is a complete lack of recognition of the challenges Milwaukee faces and the joint interests of the whole state in Milwaukee thriving, that somehow people do better in the suburbs or in the whole state if we harm Milwaukee and we can't pay for basic services, our schools are underfunded. I'll give you one example. Milwaukee Public Schools, the average school building is 80 years old. Many are over 100 years old. And energy inefficient, so the district pays $20 million a year for utilities. You drive out to the suburbs and people are building brand new high schools and middle schools and elementary schools all the time. That's the inequality in this place. Milwaukee needs more resources, not less.
Dr. Craig, I'd like to hear your thought on this. Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell bluntly warned Republican senators in a private meeting not to sign onto a bill from, of all people, I'm saying from all people, Senator Josh Hawley, aimed at limited corporate money, bankrolling high-powered outside groups, telling them that many of them won their seats thanks to the powerful super PAC the Kentucky Republican has long controlled. So Josh Hawley is challenging the Citizens United Supreme Court ruling that has allowed all of this corporate money to come into elections. Are you surprised at that?
I think it's a little like some of the very right-wing state senators opposing the Brewers deal. In other words, there are a few of them that actually are serious about some of the way they campaign, right?
On
because they're conservatives now, claim to be populist as well. And any corporate turn on Fox News, and they're claiming that they're the tribunes of the people against corporate America. But the bulk of the Republican Party is deregulated campaign cash so they can get all the corporate booty because they get a lot more than Democrats and it gives them an advantage. But apparently Josh Hawley actually believes this. And I've heard rumors of Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders working with him on some issues. So that makes me feel better about him, just like I feel better about Julian Bradley, the very conservative state senator here in the Milwaukee area, who's been very strong on the problems with the Brewers deal. And so, I think Josh Hawley also, you have to hold both thoughts, Earl, right? Also supported the insurrection and gave them a thumbs up, right? So both are true, but we have to be nuanced and kudos. I know that Senator Chris Larson, one of the most progressive Democrats, is he and Julian Bradley, one of the most conservative state senators, are talking on the Brewers. And kudos to Democrats that are working with Josh Hawley on this. And he just revealed the real power behind the throne because Mitch McConnell is now doing something rare. He's giving an instructed vote. It's so important to Republican power not to allow their own member to have a rare flash of insight about the inequality of our electoral system and the rigged nature of it.
You know, Dr. Craig, two things. On tomorrow, I have Senator Chris Larson on in the 8 o'clock hour. So we'll be able to have some dialogue about the things you're talking about.
And he's doing great. He was elected very young. We supported him when people told us we shouldn't. And his ability to influence things on the inside and understand how power works and to build leverage. I mean, he's really an up and comer, Earl. So I'm glad.
But I've always had a relationship with Senator. Why am I forgetting his name that quick?
Senator Larson.
Senator Larson. Right. I've always had him on. Whenever I've been on radio, I've always had him on because it's exactly what you say. He's a fighter. He's a guy who's willing to stand up for what's right. And he's a guy who, if he has to stand alone, he'll do that. But we need more of Chris Larson's. We need more Chris Larson's. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And you should give him kudos, Earl, because he's taken a lot of gruff over telling truth about the Brewers deal. And a lot of people who shouldn't be doing it, people who actually would benefit from a better deal, complaining about Chris Larson. So he needs to hear people who appreciate what he's doing.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, and I will do that because, again, I know what kind of man he is from the inside out, and so that's why I've always supported him. But the other side of that, Dr. Craig, is the fact that Mitch McConnell has come out openly and challenged Hawley with, hey, you better watch it because what you are doing is, you know, the hand that feeds you and us. And if you do this, you need to understand you got elected by those resources and many other senators on the right side of the aisle have been, you know, elected, and this is where they get their money. So, you know, McConnell is clearly coming out and telling him publicly, admonishing him that this is the wrong way to go.
Now, Hawley may be a bright guy. People assume he's a bright guy because he has an Ivy League pedigree. I happen to know there are some very unwise, unsmart people who get Ivy League degrees. It's not a good housekeeping keel of approval. Donald Trump has a master's in Ivy League institutions. But if he is smart, and I don't know the man, he is being smart here because even conservative Republican voters agree with him on this. So this is a rare case where he is representing. He's not just representing your views and my views, Earl. He's representing, if you actually ask Republican voters, they don't think corporations' money should dominate elections and they should be able to put in whatever they want.
You know, here's what he had to say. I think that's wrong, Hawley told CNN, responding to what Mitch McConnell said. I think it's wrong as an original matter. I think it's warping our politics, and I see no reason for conservatives to defend it. It's wrong as a matter of the original meaning of the Constitution. It's bad for our elections. It's bad for our voters. And I think on principle, we ought to be concerned. I think that's absolutely the right things to say. Let's go to the phone lines. Who is
he may have said more than he knows, Earl, because the founding fathers are very concerned about concentrated business and corporate power, and we're opposed to it.
All right, let's go to unavailable. Whoever that is, Calvin. Ken, go ahead. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's Ken here.
All right.
I'm just curious, how much did the state commit for the Miller Park? You said $3 million? $300 million? Hello?
Dr. Craig, what is this? $600 million? $700 million? It's somewhere around there, all total.
I think it's about $545 million from the public. Then the brewers claim extra.
They're $100
million. They're putting in much less. The Brewers put in half of what Fiserv Arena costs. So just, and they had labor agreements in place that made sure workers got a lot of the benefit. And they developed around there and created the deer.
Yeah, you mean the Bucks. The Bucks.
Yeah. So there's it's over half a, it's moving around. It might change a little in the Senate. In fact, it doesn't have the votes in the Senate right now. If they can't twist enough arms, they're going to have to make concessions.
So, Ken, what's.
It was fascinating, Earl, because. The assembly sponsor, Representative Brooks, kept saying, well, I don't think the Brewers would go there. The Brewers are against this. And Senator Bradley said, you represent, and we all represent, people who voted for us, not the Brewers, which was the best line of the whole darn debate so far.
Well, you know, Dr. Craig, I'm going to reach out to Senator Bradley because that's, you know, I saw him in a different light, and it's one of the reasons why I never reached out to him. But based on what you were saying now, I think it's important that I do. Ken, hang on. Tom, we'll be right back to you guys on the other side, 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. We'll be right back.
The Shaw, WAUK.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas. That's the number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom.
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Dr. Craig. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, Josh Hawley has a against Lucas Kuntz, who was an Iraqi veteran and also an FDR-type progressive. So apparently the numbers are showing him in a dead heat. Therefore, he's going to start saying some populist things. So let's just remember what his record was on H.R. 1.
No. I know what kind of guy Josh Hawley is. I know who he is.
I just want to let your viewer, your listeners know, Josh Hawley, about that. Now, second, I want to ask Dr. Craig a question. Dr. Craig, do you think the American people understand or truly want democracy? Or do they like the fact, because if you look at the polling, if you look at the votes, most votes that come across come in presidential elections. It's almost like we in this country have it set up where we think that we have one branch of government, and that is the presidency. Of course, the Supreme Court being another branch of government, who just gets appointed by a president. So it's almost like it moves us towards a authoritarian type of having one person make the decision. And I would just say to the people, look, if you really like authoritarianism, look at Hamas. Look at some of these other countries, Hezbollah, and some of these other places that Orban and Hungary and, places like this. This is what you're going to get, people, if we don't get a democracy. And democracy means we, the people, are truly the government. Or we have a representative democracy where if we get money out of politics, we could actually have our views being represented by our Congress people that we elect into office. But I wanted to ask that question. Do we just think it's too hard and it might just be easier just to have one person kind of make all the decisions? And I think that's a question that really needs to be posed to the American people. What do they want?
Okay, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig?
He's asking a very important question. And as democracy is under risk, we need to seriously consider it. I agree with your proposition that it doesn't appear, that people are not right now, voting on issues up and down the ballot. Most are not even doing it for president. Here's the thing, and there's really good research on this. I mean, research that is definitive and overwhelming and over decades, not just one study, that most voters, and I'm talking about in every democracy, not just the United States, are busy with their lives, and they do not have the time or inclination to study public policy closely. And so it's not that old folklore of democracy. People are studying the platforms and making decisions, right? But they're voting on group cues. That is, what my group is, what my perception of what I'm part of, and what people in that group are doing, okay? But there's an active part of the public that is engaged. They're the ones listening to the Earl Ingram Show, okay? And what they do, all of them, not just progressive ones, conservative ones, independent ones, and how active they are, how much they're involved in educating and mobilizing others and joining organizations that do, that determines to what extent we have elected officials that actually are responsive to the interests and needs of the public and desires of the public and not to someone else, like we're seeing with the Brewers. So I don't know. There's a conservative part of the electorate that actually, according to psychological research, has an authoritarian mindset and wants a strong leader. That's not most Americans, but most Americans are being misled now by a whole lot of other people they do know around them, some of them who pay attention to issues and are allowing themselves to be divided based on, you know, the manipulations of a powerful elite rather than actually being civically minded and developing, you know, majorities and getting involved in politics off the sidelines that actually operate in the public interest and hold elected officials accountable.
And you know, Dr. Craig, it's been working. It continues to work, even though right now it's teetering. They were able to build this in rule, and now you see some kinks in the armor, but it's still there.
By a thread, unfortunately, but yes. And part of it, Earl, is powerful people, you know, like billionaires, like big corporate heads, like people like Mitch McConnell.
Widow Hendricks here in the state.
Yeah, making decisions for themselves that are socially irresponsible and then using their resources and money to take advantage of it. Like billionaires who think, like Mark Antanasio, not only Diane Hendricks, who thinks that when we're underfunding MPS dramatically and the schools are 80 years old for kids in high poverty need the best schools, right? That he should go and grab more money he doesn't need because the Brewers could pay for every upgrade they want and they could desire with the increased value of the team every year. It's such a valuable property.
Hey, Dr. Craig, always great stuff. Too short. We'll see you again next Wednesday.
Thank you, world.
Thank you. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin, as always. I'll be back on tomorrow. See you later.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.